Friends, this evening I would like to take as our text the 18th verse of this 36th chapter of Job. It is perhaps a strange verse to take as a gospel message out of the middle of this book, but I believe that it is the message that the Lord has laid upon our hearts, and I believe there are many great truths contained therein. In verse 18 we read, "Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." Friends, we come tonight to a verse of Scripture which, as it were, flies in the face of modern day preaching and thinking. For in this passage, we read of the wrath of God, the brevity of life, and the reality of eternity. These three matters cut deep into the hearts of many. They do not wish to give them thought. Sad to say, many preachers across our land will not deal with them as the Word of God lays them out. These subjects would rather be glossed over with a happy, everything is rosy kind of sermonette. People would rather the minister go up and speak of a God who is as perhaps, and we do not say this disrespectfully in any means, some sort of a dottery, forgetful old man. Someone who should really be in an old folks home, for he has lost his way in his old age. And really he is no threat to anyone. And he'll just be happy to let everyone into heaven. Sad to say, many across our land do not want to speak or are afraid to speak of the wrath and judgment of God. But Scripture lays it plain, and it must be addressed. The message which I bring will be to many in our society unpopular, even offensive. But is that not what it was in the day of our Lord when he taught amongst the people? Throughout the Gospel, the Lord's word caused offense to those who listened, especially the self-righteous religious Jews. Well, they did not want to hear the message which he would bring. They were trusting in their own righteousness, their own good works. Well, that was good enough for them. Their religion would take them to heaven. And they did not want to hear the words of the Savior. I wonder at the very outset of this message, can I ask you, what are you trusting in this evening for salvation? Are you trusting in your own goodness? Your own coming along, perhaps, to this church week by week? Are you trusting in your own good works? My friend, your moral uprightness will not save you. The prophet Isaiah foretold that the Lord's words would be offensive to those that would listen. In Isaiah 8 and 14, we read, "And he shall be a stone of stumbling for a rock of offense, both to the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But he would be a sanctuary or a place of rest and security for those who trust in him." The Lord said himself in Luke 7 and verse 23, "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." My friend, this evening, please be assured that I bring this message to you from the Lord, not to cause offense, but out of love for your never dying soul. And so this evening, I would like you to see the dilemma of the lost soul, the dilemma of your lost soul. I want us to consider three simple points. I would like us to firstly notice the danger facing the sinner. The danger facing the sinner. That opening phrase at the beginning of our text, verse 18, "Because there is wrath." Because there is wrath. Let us consider for a few moments wrath and what the biblical understanding of the wrath of God is. Wrath is defined as the emotional response to perceived wrong or injustice, often translated as anger or indignation, vexation or irritation. Both we and God express wrath. But there is a vast difference between the wrath of God and the wrath of men. God's wrath is holy and is always justified. And man's wrath is never holy and rarely justified. We all, I'm sure, can say that we have experienced the wrath of someone, either vented towards someone else in whose company we've been in, or towards ourselves. And perhaps by our own actions or words, we have poured out our wrath upon someone else. Or we may have considered it justified, perhaps, at the time. Maybe when we have settled from the heat of the moment, we have come to regret our words and our actions. But as I say, in our passage we read of the wrath of God. Again, this is a very unpopular subject in our day. People would rather be told of a loving God who forgives all men when they die, a God who just overlooks all wrong as if it never happened. And yet, we would not expect someone who had committed some crime against us to go unpunished, would we? But yet, there are those who expect God to just overlook their wrongs. Have you ever considered it like that, my friend? Perhaps you listen to a morning radio talk show or a news story, and you find yourself, as we say in this wee country, giving off or getting angry because of some injustice done by a perpetrator of some action, and they're being defended by an individual from some organisation. And they're being defended as really not deserving the punishment for their actions. And it makes you mad. Oh, it boils up within you. Because you hate to see that which has been committed wrongly being got away with. And yet, my friend, you break God's laws daily. Perhaps you use his name in vain. You live as you please. And you expect a holy, a righteous, and a just God to overlook your wrongs when you pass out into eternity? Or are we not guilty of double standards? As God is a God of love, he is also a God of wrath. The wrath of God is consistently directed towards those who do not obey his will. God's wrath against sin and disobedience is perfectly justified because his plan for mankind is holy and perfect, just as God himself is holy and perfect. And God provided a way to gain divine favour, and that is by repentance, by turning to Christ for forgiveness, that which turns away the wrath of God from the sinner. And yet we must notice that God's wrath is righteous. It is the just reward for sin, and to reject the perfect plan of God, to reject God's love, his mercy, his grace and favour, will incur his righteous wrath. God's wrath is holy. It is infinitely removed from sinful passion. Unlike men, God's wrath is not nor can be tainted by selfishness. And it will be vented against those who reject him. God's wrath is intolerable as the wrath of man's creature and judge. And it is unabatable and unremovable by any human power. And my friend, there is coming a day when the wrath of God will be unleashed against all who disobey and reject him. John, writing in Revelation, in chapter 6, verse 15, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pens the words, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of God. of the Lamb. My friend, maybe you say in your own heart, oh, it'll be all right. I'll be okay. You believe in your own mind that God will just pardon you and let you go on. My friend, God's word is true. God's word is true. And friend, if you believe that heaven found in this book is a real place, and you say, yes, there is a God there, then you must also believe that there is wrath to come for those who will not trust in him and accept his only way of salvation. I wonder, dear friend, will you flee from the danger of wrath to come even this evening? But I also want us to notice not only the danger of the sinner, but the duty of the sinner. The duty of the sinner. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Our verse tonight speaks of the long-suffering in God in the sense that he does not punish us immediately in the here and now for every transgression of his law. And it teaches that he is patient towards us. Yet, my friend, one day that patience will come to an end. Here we have a stark word of warning that our days are short. The story is told of two men who were in conversation one day, and the subject of death came up. One man says, "My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather were all lost at sea." The other replied, "Well then, you better stay off the sea." The first asked, "Where did your father die?" "Oh, my father, grandfather, and great-grandfather died in bed," came the reply. "Well then, I suppose you should sleep in your armchair," came the return. "Oh yes, we may laugh and smile, but the reality is that no matter where you are, you will die. No matter what you are doing, one day you will pass out into God's eternity, whether young or whether old. Oh, you have plenty of time," you say. In the scriptures, our days are spoken of as the grass and the flower that withers, even as we noticed in the prophecy of Isaiah this morning. They're referred to as the wind and the clouds and the vapor, which all are there for a short time, and then they disappear as quickly as they came. How many of us go out the door each morning and say to our family, "Goodbye, I may never see you again"? No, quite the opposite. You shout as you go out, "I'll be home around 6, will the tea be ready? I have to go out again." And we take it for granted that we will return home when we go out in the morning. We take it for granted that as we go out about our business, that nothing will happen us, and we live a long and happy life. Beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. There are those who believe the greatest lie of the devil, that deception which he spreads amongst all men. "Oh, I have plenty of time. I have plenty of time." Last year in our province, 45 souls were taken out into eternity on the roads, both young and old. Oh, you say the death toll on the road is very small in comparison to the population. Well, what of the thousands and tens of thousands that died in other circumstances? The heart attacks, the sudden deaths, etc. "I'll take my chance," you say. "I'll put it off for now. I'll get saved before I die." Friend, let me tell you, we hear of very few deathbed conversions. You don't know whether you will even see a deathbed. And I wonder, when you come to the end of your days? Will you be even in a situation to know exactly what you're thinking? Nursing homes across our land, as I'm sure we're all aware, friends and family, with that dreadful disease of dementia, they know not where they are or what they're doing. My friend, when you come to the end of your days, will you know where you are and what you're doing? Beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. What then? Do you think that you will stand before the Lord and argue your case that you couldn't be saved because you didn't have time or that your mind was not sharp enough? Oh yes, God, I wanted to get saved, but I was leaving it till I was old and you took away my memory. Friend, be not mistaken. God is not mocked. You've heard the gospel message again and again, and yet you go on rejecting that offer of salvation. Oh, the dying thief got saved on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's time enough for me. Bible commentator Albert Barnes said that in his experience, deathbed conversion was an exception. In over 50 years of ministry, he said they had known a great many people who had said that they had repented on what they believed was their deathbed. A number, he says, to their great surprise, made a full recovery. And how many of those, he asked, do you suppose went on to live a life to the glory of God? Not one. Not one. My dear friend, they did not truly repent, but rather, knowing their predicament, cried out in panic and not in repentance. Beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke. My friend, there must be an awakening in your heart to the consciousness and consideration of your peril. Stop, poor sinner, stop. Oh, look at your life, look at the situation in which you find yourself in. There must be a halting to your present course. We could consider the prodigal son feeding at the swine trough. And he came to his senses. We could consider the penitent thief on the cross. And he realized the situation which he was in and he repented. There must be an earnest inquiry to the way of deliverance. We consider the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, as he was on that Damascus road. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Philippian jailer asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Friend, there is no safety but in the Lord's own way. Any other ends only in death. And there must be immediate obedience to divine direction. What is that direction? The Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John the Baptist cried, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord himself said, come unto me and I will give you rest. There's no safety for the sinner but at the cross, where the wrath of God was poured out upon his precious Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ met the demands of the law and the justice of God for those who will call upon his name. Not for all men, as some will say. Not that all men will be found in heaven, but for all those who will call upon his name. There's no safety for the sinner outside of Christ. And my friend, it is dangerous to delay in obeying the direction which God's word sets out and which we set before you tonight. Lot was told not to tarry in the plain for a moment, for the Lord destroyed in an instant the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Consider
that the minute after God shut Noah and his family in the ark, it was too late for those who were closed outside. Beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, today, my friend, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, dear unsaved friend, I plead with you. Will you not consider your end? We have considered the danger facing the sinner because there is wrath. We have considered the duty of the sinner. Beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Now let us see the doom of the sinner. The doom of the sinner. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The doom of the sinner is not necessarily at the point of his death. One penned the words of a verse. There is a line unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. I'm sure we're all familiar with those words in Genesis 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For those outside the ark, when the door was shut, there was nothing more to save them. Their choice was made, their fate was sealed, the deadline was crossed. All their pleading was to no avail. Their good works were no use. Their wisdom and their intellect could not reason salvation. And their wealth could not purchase salvation. Oh, they could have stood and they could have waved all they had before Noah and said, save me, but it was too late. The day of opportunity was past. My friend, what if tonight were your last opportunity? What if tonight were your last opportunity? There are those who, across our land, who will testify about going into church week by week, going to gospel missions night after night, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God stopped striving with them. Tonight, they are lost and without remedy. But praise God, we're still in a day of grace. We're still in a day of grace. Oh, your own ransom will not save you. But a great ransom has already been provided. Nothing less than the blood of God's own Son made flesh. And only he is able to satisfy divine justice for the sins of men, women, and boys and girls. Only he can deliver every sinner who puts his trust in him. It was he who delivered the thief upon the cross. It was he who delivered Saul, the persecutor, on the Damascus road. And it was he who delivered those who nailed him to that cross and realized what they had done. My friend, it is only he who can deliver you from a lost sinner's hell. Friends, the ransom is available. But whoever, only on this side of death, one day you will cross that line and it will be too late. The blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, as the perfect sacrifice, is there for all who put their trust in it. But it demands punishment for those who trample upon it. Will you trample upon the Word of God this evening?
Will you go out of this place and, as where, wipe the dust off your feet for another week? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 29. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? My friend, these verses are speaking to you if you trample the Word of God underfoot and go out rejecting Christ. And there is coming a day when even the blood of God's Son cannot save the soul, that day when you pass out into God's eternity. The rich man in hell cried out for water. He cried out that Lazarus would be sent over to dip his finger in the water and put it upon his tongue. But there was a gulf fixed. The rich man was in a place called hell, and it was a reality. And he knew that he would never get out. And he asked for Lazarus to go and to tell his brethren, his brothers, ere they would go to that place. But it was too late. It was too late. Oh, if they see some miracle done, what's your excuse, my friend? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This evening we have considered the danger facing the sinner because there is wrath. We have seen the duty of the sinner. Beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. We have seen the doom of the sinner. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, my friend. O sinner, I plead with you. Will you not turn to Christ this evening, ere it be too late? Simply repent of your sin and trust in the finished work of Christ alone for salvation, and he will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Amen.